Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Summit.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carey Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith begins right now.
And we welcome you in on the Monday after the Jaguars dominating 17-6 victory over the Tennessee Titans in Nashville. Cole Pepper here at Jaguars Central, along with the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman. Good evening.
Hello, Cole.
And the general manager of the Jaguars, Gene Smith. Well, I really think they should have run the ball more in that first drive.
I like the fact that we came out and we tried to impose our will, and we stayed with what I think is the strength of our football team, and it paid off yesterday.
Was it a statement drive, that first drive? 11 runs, 12 plays in total, right down the field?
I think it was, and it was something certainly on offense that I know our players embraced. You know, football really comes down to individual battles, and it's a true test of your manhood, and I thought we won it up front yesterday.
All right, I need a state of the Jaguars from you, Gene. 12 games into the season, the team is 7-5. It is in first place by one game over the Indianapolis Colts. It has 4 games remaining in this season. Now, I did a story that was posted probably about an hour ago from Jack Del Rio's press conference, and I revisited past years when the Jaguars have been in this situation. It was kind of two up and two down. 05, they made the playoffs.
Right.
06 collapsed and missed the playoffs. 07 got hot in December, made the playoffs. And, of course, last year, 7-5, lost 4 in a row and missed the playoffs. So two up, two down. Talk to me about this team as it relates to those four teams. You know, does this team strike a parallel to any of those four or any of those other three? And what about last year, 75? Was that a Rio or was that a mirage?
Well, I thought we did some very good things a year ago in terms of putting ourselves in position going into the last quarter of the season and having a chance to make the playoffs. That's where you want to be every year, going into the last quarter of the season. I think this team certainly has more maturity to it. There's some leaders that have emerged, and certainly we have some guys here now that are starters that are setting the example for others to follow. And I think that's what you need to really take the next step. And I don't want to get too far ahead of things because we do have 4 games left, and I really want us to continue to focus on the next game. But I feel like we've made progress, and now we need to finish what we've started.
Where's your progress? What examples of progress please you the most? Overall roster, particular positions, the way you've positioned yourself for the future. That's what I mean by state of this team. If you could, you know, talk to the fans about your thoughts of being in first place with 4 games left.
Well, maybe it's just because I'm from Ohio.
That's probably it.
That I have more of a plains mentality. I try to avoid the peaks and the valleys that certainly can happen in the NFL because it is an emotional roller coaster. And I feel like to become a consistent team, you got to eliminate, you know, the peaks and valleys. And I think down the stretch here, we've been able to do that in some respects. And I think really an offense has started up front, you know, running the ball. You know, some of our areas, I would say, of concern a year ago was certainly one, the ability to run the ball. And I know we talked a lot about the ability to put pressure on the ball on the defensive side. And I think we've improved in both of those areas. Now, I know we want to be better in terms of getting sacks and getting the quarterback to the ground on defense, but we're getting him to move now more than we have in recent years, which when you don't allow a quarterback to set his feet to throw, he's not going to be as accurate, so you can get off the field more. But going back to offense, we're just playing to the strength of our personnel, and that's where Dirk and our offensive staff are doing a very good job. And then defensively, You know, the coaching staff is bringing along some young players and developing some continuity to where you got some very eager players to learn that are playing very hard on Sunday.
What did you think of the play calling yesterday?
I thought it was very good.
In what ways? 53 runs? That's pretty good.
You know,
franchise record.
I'm probably a little bit more traditional in my ways. I do like balance. I'm probably a little bit, though, more of a run guy and play action pass, but I'm not calling the plays. Whatever it takes to win, I still think above it all, it is players over plays in the end. And however we utilize our best players to enable us to win, I think that's the key.
You know, interesting, too, Vic, you mentioned this last week, knowing that the Titans were going to throw a bunch of eight-man, nine-man fronts mm-hmm. up there. Gene, there saw a stat today that of his 31 rushes, Maurice Drew ran against an eight-man box or more 18 times, and he averaged almost 7 yards a rush against that. How in the world against eight- and nine-man fronts does a guy average 7 yards a carry?
Well, I think it's mental will. I really do. I've said this a lot, that mental will wins more than physical skill, and I really believe it. Maurice, at times, was making the additional one or two guys either miss in the hole or he ran them over. And I think that really is something that was a catalyst to our success, because when the offensive linemen see the way he runs and the way Rashad Jennings came in and ran with the ball, and they see the way Greg Jones, who I think is a linebacker playing offense because he likes to hit. He's going back to his high school years when he was one of the top linebacker prospects in the country. And then you see the receivers, the way they're blocking downfield and cracking, because Sim Osgood was outstanding yesterday, cracking on the perimeter. So there was just a number of guys who did some tremendous things yesterday, and it looked better on film than what I observed live.
Good teams take what you give them. Great teams take what they want.
I like that. I just see a lot of guys playing well together. And, you know, again, I'm a firm believer it takes good players to play great together to win championships. And we're getting closer to where we want to be, but we got a lot of things that we can certainly improve on.
Name some things.
Well, again, I think on the defensive side, I think Jack and the defensive staff would certainly say, you know, creating more pressure. We did a number of things yesterday well, and the one thing, when we were bringing four guys, we didn't get the sacks maybe we would have liked, but we got the guy moving. If we can get the guy down on the ground more, I think we'll be better off there. And then still, you know, I just think overall the little things on defense that make you great, you know, those would be great questions for Jack more so than me. But I see progress for sure. But I like what I see thus far.
All right, we'll have more with the general manager coming up in just a bit. You can join the conversation, Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. You can find the Jaguars Monday thread. We already have a bunch of comments up there. We pulled some of the best ones. And if you want to add to that, the best ones will get on the air. We'll present those to the general manager. Reminder to vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. Jaguars, of course, home on Sunday to take on the Oakland Raiders. And when the Jaguars win, we all win at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after a winning game at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Back with an update on both the injury front, ticketing, and more with the general manager as we continue on Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Play action, pocket collapsing. Collins turns and throws the ball down the field. He's looking for Nate Washington. It's intercepted! Derek Cox stepped right in front of him and made a beautiful leaping grab for the ball. And it's first and 10 Jacksonville at their own 43. What a play.
Terrific play by Derek Cox, who had what Jack Del Rio categorized as his best game of the year yesterday. Also made a play on the goal line against Randy Moss in the Jaguars' 17-6 win Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of gate gasoline, you get $2 in Jag Bucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. Time now for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Courtney Green with a shoulder. Good news today, Jack Del Rio saying that he would not have to be put on the IR, so they're going to wait and see if he can come back a little bit. It certainly looked like a painful injury for Green on the field in Nashville. Mike Sims-Walker and Leje Douzable, both who have ankles, both probably shut down at least until Wednesday, maybe Thursday, to see if they can get those guys back on the field on Sunday. So that's your injury update. Ticketing update quickly. About 1,000 tickets sold today for the Oakland game. 3882 is the number as of right now to avoid the blackout. And there's a real buzz right now. You talk about winning 4 or 5 and winning the way that the team did. I know you get in here on Monday mornings, and it's a lot of film work and so forth. Have you gotten any sense of a buzz going on about this team right now?
Well, I mean, I can feel it, like, in the locker room, certainly, when you're around our players. And I know what you're saying, Cole, more with the fan base, but our players have really kept it in perspective. They haven't dealt with it in a negative way where they're losing focus on our next opponent. I just think it's something that's a very good feeling to have at this point in the season. So there's a lot of belief in each other on this football team.
And before we go any further, let's just make sure we do put it in perspective here, the latest as it is now. Jaguars 7-5 in first place in the AFC South, with the Colts at 6-6. Titans and Texans are both at 5-7. And like we, you know, you can always play the if the season ended today situation. Tonight's going to be a game, I think. We can talk a little about this that could have a big impact on what might happen in the AFC. You talk about the Patriots and the Jets playing. That'll be a game I think a lot of folks will be keeping a close eye on.
That'd be a great game to watch for sure. Two outstanding coaches, two very good football teams. And, you know, there's another game Thursday night that I think will have everyone's keen eye on.
Colts and Titans, of course, on Thursday night.
Did you happen to see the TV ratings from last night's game?
I have not seen it.
Through the roof. Yeah. They are.
Terrific game, though.
Final episode of MASH-like. I mean, they are 54.4.
Mm-hmm. Steelers-Ravens,
unbelievable ratings. And the final score was 13-10. So don't tell me we've got to have a lot of points to have interest. Yeah. I'm not buying that. When you have teams playing with that kind of fervor, with that kind of passion, with that kind of violence, and who are we kidding? Let's not try to fool anybody here. That's what this game is about, and that's what turns on the fans. You turn this into two-hand tag, and those TVs are going to go off.
Yeah, Chris Collinsworth made the comment, you play that game 16 times, he'll pay to show up to every one of them.
Absolutely. I mean,
13-10. Yeah.
13-10. There was two touchdowns scored in the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, a very physical game. Do you watch these?
Yeah, I get a chance like to watch most of those games on Sunday night. I don't get a chance to watch all the NFL games, but I like that brand of football. I do. I like what we did on Sunday Nashville. So, to me, that's the real football, the true essence of what it should be.
All right, let's get some comments in from folks who are chiming in on Facebook. Let's go to Jeff's comment. Gene, the offensive line was a big question mark in training camp. However, even with the loss of Evan Britton for the rest of the season, the line has really stepped up, and Maurice Jones-Drew now has recorded 5 straight games of 100 yards or more. What do you attribute the most to their success?
I think, number one, the interior three. I really do. Brad Meester probably had his best game of the year. I was very impressed the way he stayed after people. And then I thought Vinny played well again. I thought the whole group played well. I thought Jordan Black had his best game of the year. So when you look at it as a whole, it was a lot of people working well together. The offensive line, Mercedes Lewis was dominant as a run blocker. That's the best I've seen him block all year. Certainly Greg Jones has blocked well the entire year. And Maurice and Rashad Jennings, it was just a total team effort in all three phases.
And another comment from one of the Facebook contributors. Karen says, great win Sunday. What were the major differences for both teams between the Monday night game and yesterday's game that caused us a difference in performance and on the scoreboard? You go from 30-3 to 17-6 and, you know, flip-flop in a pretty dramatic difference you need to study in contrast between those two games.
Well, it was kind of like a year ago. you know, each time you play an opponent, there's different things that you may do to attack that opponent. Teams are at different stages, maybe, of their development. You may have injuries, you may have whatever occurring through the course of a long season. So I don't think you can ever judge how you're going to play a team the second time based on how you performed the first time. And I really feel like our players tuned into this one, and some of the areas that maybe we were a little bit more delinquent the first time around, we certainly made some strides to improve in.
Momentum has always been such a enormous part of football, and this game yesterday is the perfect example of, you know, you're talking about the difference between 30-3 and 17-6, which might as well have been 30-3.
Yep.
It was really the same kind of dominance. So how can a team that won 30-3 a month and a half ago get whipped the way they did yesterday? And it's all about, in my opinion, momentum, and I'll explain. The Titans yesterday, had they won that game, would be tied with the Jaguars and the Colts for first place today, with the Colts coming to their house on Thursday. And they have a schedule that favors them because three of their final four games would be against division opponents, two against the Colts and one against the Texans. So, I mean, they were in prime position here. If you win this game, as it turns out, if you win this game, you would probably be the favored team to win the division if you had just won that game. So there really can be no excuse for not being ready to go emotionally, mentally. But they weren't. They weren't. Somewhere between that game here on Monday night and yesterday, and Gene, you don't have to get in this, this is me speaking, they shut it down. I think it was evident to see no Titans, no Jeff Fisher team has the ball shoved down its throat 11 times in the run game in a 12-play opening drive. That is not a Jeff Fisher team. There's no way a Jeff Fisher team is going to have the ball run like that on it 11 times in the opening drive of the game. No way, especially at home. Looked in the upper deck yesterday at kickoff, and there's massive no-shows. And you could just feel the town had quit on the team. They saw that this team doesn't have it. And you could see, I could see that the team had quit on the team. And, you know, I believe there's got to be a reason for it. And the only reason I can put my finger on is that the Vince Young thing divided that team. And that's, I think, that's an example of how fragile momentum, how fragile morale is. And you cannot have it on your team. You cannot run the risk of what the Randy Mosses and the Terrell Owens and the Vince Youngs will do to your team. It's not worth it. No matter how well they play, it is not worth the catastrophic effects they can have on the morale and the momentum of your team. Gene, do you agree or disagree?
Well, again, it's tough enough to win when you're working together. When you have things working against you or you have distractions, it can make it very difficult week in and week out. You know, when you said, you know, basically the Mighty Mo, to me the Mighty Mo is Maurice Jones-Drew. To me that was the difference yesterday. I thought we dictated, you know, certainly the outcome of that football game.
Yeah, but they
game.
Got a good guy. Chris Johnson's a good running back. Why,
very good running
why
back.
Why didn't he dictate the...
I think it was the mentality of our players. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Tennessee. I don't think they just laid down. I think it had a lot to do with what we did up front.
Okay.
So from my perspective, that's what you want to see at this time of the year.
And I'm sorry, I don't mean we're about to get to break, but I do want to get some breaking news in before we did that. The Broncos have fired Josh McDaniels, their head coach
today.
Oh, what
a surprise.
So before the season has come to a close, there's a coach on the way out after their – lost in Kansas City yesterday.
So my prediction will be, my draft day prediction will come true.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Next year, T.O. will be playing tight end for somebody else.
That was your other half of the prediction.
Yeah.
All right, test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Well, you get to the month of December, things start to percolate in the National Football League. When we come back, I'll let you know where Maurice Drew, the Jaguars' Big Mo, stands in the NFL rushing leaders' numbers. And interesting, when you talk about running the football and how important that could be for the Jaguars here over the last month of the season, some numbers that might back that up. That's all straight ahead. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Offset eye. David hands it off, and Jennings has the first down, and more on his feet. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
There was the touchdown that capped the opening drive. 11 runs, one pass. Got pass happy on that drive. And the Rashad Jennings 11-play drive. Just selfishly, I would like to have seen a 12-play, 12-run drive, but that's just me.
I could have done it.
Probably could have, the way it was going. And Rashad Jennings with the opening touchdown of the Jaguars' 17-6 victory over the Tennessee Titans yesterday. Welcome back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth. A couple of numbers I just want to get to real quickly here. NFL rushing leaders, as of this morning, Arian Foster leads with 1,230 yards on the year. Mo is now at number two in the league, 1,177, 40 yards ahead of Jamal Charles, 54 yards ahead of Adrian Peterson, and Michael Turner is another runner over 1,000 yards. So second overall in terms of rushing for Maurice Jones-Drew on the individual numbers. And just something to keep an eye on with the running game here coming down the final stretch. The teams the Jaguars will play.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Listen to these numbers.
They're not the steel curtain.
No. Oakland is 23rd against the run, 23rd against both the yards per carry and yards per game. Indy is 29th in yards per game, 31st, next to last, in yards per carry against. And Washington is 28th in yards per game and dead last in the NFL in terms of yards per carry. Mm. So you've got 23, 31, and 32 in terms of yards per carry.
What about Houston?
Houston's 10th overall and 8th in yards per carry, so they've done a better
job. Yeah, but the only reason Houston's good against the run is because they're so bad against the pass, no one would bother running at them.
Well, in
what are they against the pass?
I'll have to dig that up. I just put down the rushing numbers.
32, right? I think they're dead last.
Yeah, they were near the bottom last time we saw them.
Why would you run against
them? Well, and so the point being here, some opportunities based, you know, past performance, not a guarantee of future gain. But the Jaguars are, I mean, you wouldn't mind running against these
teams. It's a very good point, Cole. This is falling in the Jaguars' favor. And there's nothing wrong with that because it'll go against you pretty quick, too. This is an opportunity for this team not just to do what it takes to win, you know, and get in. This is an opportunity to get on a roll here. Win out, who knows? Maybe get a bye for the first round of the playoffs. Who knows? I mean, there's no saying that 11-5 wouldn't finish number two. The Steelers have to play the Jets yet. They have to go to Cleveland. I don't know what the Patriots and Jets. I know the Jets have to go to Pittsburgh. So yep. I mean, either way, I mean, you know, we're going to get a loss. Someone's going to get a loss there.
And just as a note, if the season ended tomorrow, the Jaguars would host the loser of tonight's Jets-Patriots game, as it stands now. Of course, you know.
Oh, go Jets. Go Brady. I don't want him. Anybody but him.
That you need a hat that just says ABB, I think, the Anybody But Brady Club.
Yes.
Right there. All right, let's get some more comments in from some of the folks on Facebook. Ben says, why can't Jacksonville seem to score in the second half? As a fan, it's really stressful. Second half, last 2 weeks, I haven't seen the same kind of offense as the first half.
Well, I think that would be a good question for Jack this week. You know, there's a number of different things that you could come up with. Certainly teams are going to adjust at halftime and try to take away some of the things you're doing. I think we just could execute probably a little bit better in the second half. I think there's certainly some things that we left out on the field that we could do better. I don't know. I don't want to get too much into the coaching questions, though.
Do you have the play-by-play on you?
I do not. I can pull it up.
No, it's okay. I'll get it during the next break because I want to count the run-pass ratio in the second half of the game. I think it was overwhelming run, which means that basically they said, we can't lose this game unless we screw it up, and they were right. Now, I will say this. If Bo Scaife doesn't drop that ball,
it could be a different thing.
You know, and then there was a game. But, yeah, I mean, it would be nice to score more points. Just win the game. Just win the game.
Well, I'm about winning the game, too, for sure. The one thing when people start, what I see, stacking the deck, when they start loading the box, you get single opportunities on the outside. And I'll tell you, down the stretch, I'm confident we'll be able to take advantage mm-hmm. of some of those situations. But we were running the ball so well. Why get away from what you're doing well and playing to the strength of our players on offense in particular?
Most running attempts in Jaguars history and second most in terms of yardage to the game against Indy in 06, right? The December 06, is that right?
Do you know how many times the Raiders ran the ball yesterday?
A bunch. I know Campbell had like 100 yards passing. So
52,
right?
So quick game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Might be able to get 9 in afterwards.
Get your two-hour blocked out. Another Facebook poster here. Craig says, just want to say I love the moves you've made for Jacksonville in the past. With the team being filled with veterans brought in through free agency, how pleased are you to see the younger core of the team being just as important to the team, not only winning but developing a winning atmosphere?
I think it's very important. You know, that's an excellent question, because I really think you got to have a blend on your team. You got to have some young ascending talent, certainly along with experienced veterans. There's still some work we need to do. There's some areas on defense we definitely have to get better if we want to become an even better team. But I'll tell you, right now we're in a very good position. And we just need to take care of business on Sunday.
Who are these veterans that you brought in through free agency? I don't know who they are.
Campman certainly would be
right.
One of them who's on the shelf.
I knew that one.
Yeah.
Who else?
Well, Kasim Osgood has certainly done a good job.
Jordan Black, I guess, would qualify as one, right?
He was here a year ago. This is a young team. This team. What's the guy's name?
Oh, I just skipped past
whoever wrote that question. This team was not built in free agency.
Well, no, I think what he's saying though is some of the veterans that have come in and done a good job of bringing some veteran presence. I'm certainly trying to supplement the draft with some people that can bring leadership and mentor some of these young guys and bring some experienced playmaking. You know, there's a number of players, not just through the pro free agency phase where you sign a guy, but also through acquiring guys off the waiver wire. There's different ways to utilize your pro scouting department, and I think we try to do it on a year-round basis.
All right, some other comments from some of the Facebook folks. Yes, Joe? Joe Fortunato has grabbed the microphone.
Rushing to passing, second half, 24-6.
24 runs, 6 passes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Second half.
And all that tells me is that they knew at halftime, if we run it on every down, so to speak, we're going to win this game, and winning this game is just fine. You know, that the way the Jaguars won yesterday is a way you're not supposed to be able to win in this league anymore. The idea of getting a lead and sitting on it, that's, you know, in today's passing game. The way they call pass interference and the way they call legal contact and the way, you know, the quarterbacks, you can't touch them, you can't rush them almost, the way the passing game is favored. The way the Jaguars won yesterday, that's not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to be able to get a lead and sit on it for three quarters. It's what they did. They sat on a lead for three quarters, milked it. And that's not going to happen very often. That's something that's got to be really galling for Jeff Fisher, for his team to know that it literally was held out at arm's length for more than three quarters and just held there at a distance.
You've seen the old cartoons of the guy with a hand on the forehead of this little guy swinging, and he couldn't make contact.
Well, it goes back to what I had said last week at the end of the show, Vic. If you're not scoring touchdowns, okay, obviously we scored 17 points, you want to be getting first downs.
You're
right. That means you're controlling the clock, mm-hmm. and that's the best way to help your defense out. And, you know, it's not how you win, it's if you win. Mm-hmm. That matters at every level. And I like the way we won yesterday.
But I think, Joe, if if you'll do a little more homework, I think what you'll see is that those 24 rushing attempts in the second half produced a lot of rushing yards. In New York, the rushing attempts did not produce a lot of rushing yards. It went the other way. I think that the running game stayed consistently good all game long.
And as I mentioned, averaging 7 yards against 8 and 9 men boxes, I mean, you can. There's no reason to stop running when you're picking up seven yards a clip.
I agree.
All right, let's take time out here. Come back with some more thoughts.
Let's not forget now. Let's not forget. We got a couple of missed field goals in there. Field goal attempts were missed.
Yeah, one block and one doink.
Yeah, that's six points that are, gone.
And that would have been, talk about 23-6. Right. So it may have looked a little different. But, hey, the win in Nashville, to me, one of the most satisfying victories, the way it went down. And we'll see how it plays out the rest of the season. Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll take time out. Back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudduth, right here on Jaguars Radio.
First and goal from the four. Here's the handoff to Morneau. See play action. There goes David. And he's going to stop and restart again and run into the end zone for a touchdown. Got away from Chris Hope and scores for a 13-0 lead.
A terrific play action by David Garrard on the bootleg for the touchdown yesterday in the Jaguars' 17-6 victory in Nashville over the Titans. Jaguars at 7-5, sole possession of first place in the AFC South with 4 games remaining. And again, 2 games between now and the time the Jaguars next play against the Raiders on Sunday here at the Everbank Field might bear watching. Tonight's game between the Patriots and the Jets. You mentioned that if the season ended tomorrow, the Jaguars would host the loser of that game. And then Thursday night, certainly Titans and Colts will be keeping a close eye on. There, you can make a case either way in terms of which would be better for the Jaguars based on playoff scenarios and everything else. And we wore out some dry erase markers in Joe's office earlier today, plotting out some scenarios. You can make the first thought would be, Vic, oh, geez, the Jaguars want to see the Colts lose because they're the nearest competitor. But there's also a case to be made that a Titans win, and then if the Jaguars would win their next 2 games, that would be it. And that, so in terms of the fastest way to clinch a spot, would be it.
No. An Indianapolis win on Thursday.
Right.
A Baltimore win against Houston on Sunday. Jaguars wins against Oakland and Indianapolis, and the Jaguars are the AFC South champion. But I think I agree with Gene on this. I think it would be better for the Colts to lose on Thursday because I don't think that Tennessee team is any kind of threat at all. But the Colts are always a threat with Peyton Manning, a quarterback, because if he gets hot and gets out of this funk, he can run the table. And I may add, if Indianapolis was to win their final 4 games, they would be the AFC South champion.
They would have beaten the Jaguars, the Titans twice, and Oakland. Those are the games there.
Right.
And there would be no tiebreaker for the Jaguars and Colts.
So you see, the one thing we don't want to happen is for the Colts to win out.
Right.
And the sooner they lose, the better.
I want to remind everybody that 3 hours prior to every Jaguars home game, you can check out Teal Town, live bands, a huge LED screen, interactive games, football drills, and specially discounted concessions, including draft beers for $2. Admission is free with no game ticket required. Teal Town, just south of the Pepsi Plaza at Everbank Field, as 2 more regular season home games remain on the Jaguars schedule.
Boy, is Peyton Manning getting killed by the national media today. Oh, I mean, he is just getting hung on every ESPN, ESPN
What's wrong
2,
with Peyton?
ESPN 3, ESPN whatever. I mean, all of the NFL, I mean, any network that has any kind of talk show, he is just getting skewered.
Well, that's the price of glory, isn't it? When you're turned into not just a star football player, but a celebrity, and things don't go well for you, you're going to be in the crosshairs of that stuff.
Ain't a crunch time guy now. Well, I don't call him Captain Crunch for nothing.
Let's get some more comments in here, lest we interrupt Vic's chances to take the old Tebow Manning family shooting gallery down. Let's see. Here's one from Don. As momentum around Maurice Jones-Drew builds late in the season, will the Jaguars mount a PR campaign for the MVP to help his chances at actually winning the award? Doesn't really work that way with a Heisman Trophy.
He's got no shot.
Right. And it's almost always going to go to a quarterback unless there's somebody has a dominant season offensively. Plus, Again, the Jaguars have had one primetime game. They really hadn't had a chance to showcase much.
Yeah, I mean, just it's not going to happen. I mean, he plays in a $1 million market, and it's just not. He's not a quarterback.
He can be our MVP.
There you go. I like that.
He is. This is a great, great football player.
Boy,
this is just
so competitive.
I mean, he. You know, we're talking about a 5'1" power back.
Well, you know, a successful offensive play is 4 or more yards. This guy yesterday averaged 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
I mean, he was tremendous. Probably the most competitive player, certainly on our team, and maybe one of the most in the National Football League.
And here's the worst part. In the fan voting for the Pro Bowl, he doesn't even appear. You have to be one of the top 5 vote-getters at your position to even appear in the fan voting. His name doesn't even appear.
And remember,
it's not even on the radar.
The Pro Bowl voting, one-third the fans, one-third coaches, one-third players. I'm pretty sure the other two-thirds
exactly
will be recognizing
him. The other two-thirds will make up for it, and he will be in the Pro Bowl. But if this thing about a campaign for MVP, first of all, there is no official MVP. There are
the AP.
That kind of stuff. So, I mean, I don't know how you do a campaign. It's not like the Jaguars have a sports information director, and you're gonna print out literature and send it out to the voters, because we don't even know who the voters are.
There's no Ty Detmer tie to send out to people.
You know, the one thing that I'll mention in regards to that, because Cole broke it down how the voting goes, is player personnel doesn't have a vote. The one group of people that evaluate every player in the league on a yearly basis.
Right.
Not saying that we're always right in what we do, but I can tell you there's some guys that go that may not deserve it, and there's certainly some guys who don't go that do deserve it. And it's unfortunate that it works that way, but that's just a system that
First thing I'd do if they made me commissioner, first thing I'd do is get rid of the fan voting in the Pro Bowl. That's number one. There is not one Jaguars player who even appears in the top 5 of the voting for their position, which means they don't even appear. There's Mercedes Lewis' name doesn't even appear. Moe's name doesn't appear. Greg Jones doesn't appear. I mean, fullback is a real position. Let me give you some names of a fullback who appears and Greg Jones doesn't. David Johnson. Did you see the guy from the Steelers last night? Number 85, they play him as an H-back, fullback, second year in the league. He's a very, very part-time player. He appears.
Ahead of Mercedes Lewis.
Because he's got a logo on the right side of his helmet only, all right? And ahead of ahead of Greg Jones.
Oh, as a fullback,
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, so the first thing I would do is get rid of the fan voting for the Pro Bowl.
All right, well, let's get, we don't really have any time for any more of these questions here, so we'll remind everybody that one more hour went fast, didn't it, after a 17-6 victory. One more time that the home game, second to last home game of the regular season, Sunday. Still about 3,800 tickets remaining to be sold to lift the blackout. Love to see a packed house for the Jaguars and the Raiders. For Vic Ketchman, for Gene Smith, for our executive producer Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper reminding you that the Jack Del Rio show comes up tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on Wednesday. Until then, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening and good night from Jaguar Central.